Hello everyone and welcome to the Productized Podcast, the Product Thinking Podcast. My name is Afonso Breda and I'm here to introduce you to the last episode of Season 16 of the Productized Podcast. This is a different one in a different format. Since last week, we hosted at the Coffee Dish Natura Towers another edition of the Productized Talks, where we had the privilege of listening to Lea Samrani, André Arrimar and Luis Bruegas talk about strategies for revenue growth and customer success. And after two very productive and fruitful talks, we headed into a Q&A with our three speakers, where our host, André Marquet, placed his own questions and questions from the audience to our speakers, who had the chance to answer in a very enlightening way. And this conversation really summarizes what this talk was all about. We hope you enjoy it as much as we did. From the Productized team, we say a very heartfelt farewell to Season 16 of the Productized Podcast, and we welcome Season 17 soon to come with conversations from our keynote speakers who will be present at the Productized Conference 2024, which is a series of interviews with product innovators, successful makers, and entrepreneurs, which will be held in Lisbon in October 3rd and 4th. Don't miss it. Grab your super early bird tickets now and enjoy this conversation.
How we measure SEO efforts. So for us, it's all about analytics and set up the right tracking. So we try to measure in the right way the SEO effort that we do for that. And after that, in the other dimension, with Search Console, we can see what type of content, what type of pages are working better, and well, after all, we try to focus on that and try to create new variants around it. I think in the simple way, I would say that that's it.
Okay, so let's have maybe a question for Lea now. Lea, what was the biggest challenge in running all these experiments? Maybe for the last company, you know, the example that you gave us.
Yeah, so the question I get a lot is running the same experiment at the same time. It wasn't at the same time, it was one after the other, different part of the funnel. But working with a company, the biggest challenge is always getting the founders on board, getting them to buy into experimentation and to give you enough credit and time to get that to a point where it's successful. Because it takes time to set up experiments, a lot of them fail, so it's hard sometimes to get that buy-in and that trust that this is still the best framework as of today.
All right, so founder onboarding founders into experimentation. Yeah. What kind of tricks did you use to make that happen?
We talked about
But for that, you have to listen to the podcast for take the chance now.
You have to listen to the podcast for the full answer. No, my favorite trick with experimentation is, I mean, of course, you know, you educate, you show external thing, etc. But once people give you the go ahead, is to make sure that that first experiment you do has a huge impact and a very successful impact, because it will automatically get you the buy-in. So making sure that, you know, you run really top of the funnel where we get a lot of users on one metric where there's big a swing, not something that's going to increase by 0.5%. Nobody cares. We need something that really going to have a big impact, plus 100%, plus 150%, because then the founders usually go, okay, right, this means something, this is useful, this give us a right, this give us information, and that's how you get them to start doing it as an ongoing basis.
All right, success makes them onboard them. Maybe this for Luis and André. Because, you know, you did a bunch of experimentation. Some of them didn't really go as you expect. Or, I mean, they did in the sense that they are experiments. But if a test or an experiment is losing on profitability, do you wait for full significance to stop it? Or is there more pressure to stop anything impacting revenue negatively?
I'll go for this one. So if you are playing on the test and learn landscape, you must be willing to take some risks. So you are working with risk, of course. But here, at least, we watch every experiment we have on the market on a daily basis. The advice is define time frames for the test to be running. Normally, we do it like for 2 weeks, but we are checking the results every day. And you know the market, it's not linear. You can have good days with a lot of customers coming to your site, and you can have bad days where you don't have that much customers. So you need to wait a little bit. So the normally our timeline is for 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks we stop the test, we analyze the results, we watch data, and we decide what to do next. Should we extend this period to 2 more weeks, or should we stop the test because we already know everything we need to know about the test and the results we want to achieve? So I guess the short answer is to define a timeline, define how many days you want to have the test running, and be willing to play with the risk you have.
And just to complete, and well, in my story here at Cofidis and in other companies, I already saw some experiments that you started, and the hype is so huge. The first days they are really going well, and then after all, you don't know why, you didn't change anything, you don't change the mix of the channels that are generating, and after all, you have a really huge decrease, and mm-hmm. well, so I always say, yeah, you need to have a strong spine, you know, like, oh, take calm and let's see and wait until the end.
So that's why you have those time boxes of 2 weeks, so you always wait enough. All right, so maybe this is also for Cofidis people. But feel free, maybe Lab, if you feel that you have been working on a regulated industry. As you know, the financial sector in most of Europe is a very heavily regulated industry. Here in Portugal, is supervised by Bank of Portugal. How can you take big bets in such a regulated industry? And maybe, I don't know, do you feel that you are taking bets that are big enough?
I guess the short answer is no. We cannot take those big bets as quite as we wanted. But we take some bets, okay? Yes, we have a really regulated industry. I believe that I can speak for me and for Luis. If we could and we have the power to decide, we'll be already using AI in the website and stuff like that, but we can't. Bank of Portugal is always checking the journeys we are developing. And so it's hard to be totally creative. Okay, even the designers, they have this type of talks with me. I cannot be that creative because I have boundaries that I cannot surpass. So I need to be creative inside of this bubble. So the bets are controlled. We take the ones we can. The others, maybe we can defy them sometimes, but we cannot be as creative as we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Let me just do a little bit of a challenge here, which is a Cofidis, and give a little bit of context. So Cofidis is part of a big group, Cofidis Portugal, Cofidis, you know, there's Cofidis France, Cofidis Spain. But it seems that you guys are at the very forefront of what Cofidis is doing in Europe. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I
mean, especially compared to other Cofidis in Europe.
If you compare like to Spain, France, let's say France is the where the group is
you know, watch out, players, she's French, okay?
Yeah, much
they actually have quite an admiration for what we are doing here, and they come to visit us quite often, and they take a lot of learnings from the way we are working, and they try to implement it at the group level. So I believe that we are a good example for all the Cofidis around Europe. And I believe that's also an extra motivation for us to be doing this every day and to try to have some big bets on the way.
Yeah, not just only on Cofidis Group, but also in the financial sector, I think.
Exactly. All right, so let's skip it with André and Luis for the moment. What were the most surprising things you've learned using this experimentation customer-centric approach? Something that really surprises, like, oh man, we're not expecting this.
Well, I have one. I can share. If you don't have anyone, I have one. At least in the Portuguese market,
I know everything.
You can remember. You can remember something. At least in the Portuguese market, customers are not paying that much attention to the interest rates. At least at lower level of loans, low amounts of loans. They need the money, so they don't care that much about the interest rate it's associated. They wanted to go to the best experience before the company that they want to, that is willing to give him the money. So I guess it was surprising. But
that was surprising to you?
Yeah, for me at least.
That people were not looking to the interest rate.
It means that we need to do something. That's why we are looking for transparency also, because we want to be that type of company. We want to inform our customers how much they are paying for the money they are getting. So for me, at least personally, it was a surprise.
Yeah, and just at the end, talking about customer-centric approach, I think when we look for our NPS, it increased a lot in the last 2 years. So I think it was part of this job also, and also all the teams that integrated and have to contact with our clients all days.
Okay, and now maybe back to Lea, which methodologies you applied with the end users? So you spoke about talking to users, but how did you do that? Interviews, surveys?
Interviews, yeah. So Job to be Done is a digital face-to-face thing. We have user emails. So we just email everybody and say, hey, you know, I work for this company. I just wanted to find out about your experience. You get a few people that say yes, even less show up, but enough.
A question that always pops up is how many people were you?
About 5 to 10 is enough for Job to be Done interviews, but then it's good to do it continuously. So every week, you know, you do one, for example, then you keep it.
The pace. Every week you keep doing one or two.
Yeah, you do 5 to 10 the first week and then
going to the gym, right? You have to keep doing
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly. You can never stop.
And what were the biggest misconceptions you had early in your career that were dispelled with more experience? And maybe we can cover this one.
The more senior people are, the more they know their craft. I actually realized that that's really not always the case, especially in the startup industry. You have a lot of founders or very senior people that are very, very good at selling themselves or sales speech, but actually when it comes to the details, they're just like, okay, you're interesting. And especially with founders, it's quite a big shock for me when I work with founder and they raise like 6, 7, 8 millions, and then I get to find out a bit more about what they've done and how I can help them, and I'm just, wow, okay. You know nothing. No, yeah.
Okay, Andre?
Mine is related with data. So the first time I got here working for the website, we had that struggle with data. We didn't have data available. It was a mess, okay?
Of course.
So I believed, honestly, that maybe we can do something and we can have the right path for the product not having data on set. But actually, when you had data on set, you were surprised because you can find out that you are not following the right path. Okay, so this was actually the first time that I really got the impact of having data in place, the importance of looking at the data quite often, and to make decisions based on data.
So let's go to the A-B testing. If you are A-B testing with low effort solutions, how do you prioritize building the full stable feature versus new tests? Because you spoke a lot about that, I mean, both presentations, and of course there's a choice to be done here.
That's a very, very good question. That's actually a struggle for a lot of companies. So you've got companies that are super good at A-B testing, and the end product is always in an MVP state.
Yep.
So you have, you know, all those features that were fine and we just release and then we clean it up later and it just never ends. Ideally, I think it's not always easy to put in place, but ideally what I say to my teams is, at any point in time, you should have something in the three state. You should have something that is being validated, something that's being tested, and something that's being implemented. So small, medium, large, at any point in time. So we want to do a very small validation test. That can be a user interview, a survey, via ads, some copy on a screen. A medium test, something a bit bigger. So we build a feature, we build something, we're testing it. And something longer. So longer can be clean up an old test and do a better version of it, or it can also be something that's a bigger exploration where, you know, sometimes design need to go for a month or 2 months and do a big discovery. So you need to have the three at any point in time to ensure that you're working fast, but also in a way that's sustainable over time.
I believe that you cannot stop testing if you want to keep your product alive. So test will last forever, at least if you want to add new things, to have new users, and if you want to keep your product alive, of course. Here we have more or less the same approach, working with minimum viable products. At some stage at a time, you will need to decide, okay, am I comfortable with this MVP that I'm delivering and the results I'm having, so I can move to another feature, and maybe later in time it'll come back and test again and to see that I have some improvements to do. So never stop testing. We never stop.
Does he come back, though? Yeah.
And maybe we can ask Luis about the scope of control for the experiment. So you were explaining you have this framework where you have an hypothesis and you run the experiment according to the hypothesis. I'm not sure if the scope of control for the experiments, what do you mean here, Tiago?
My question is mostly especially when you are dealing with ticket size, like for example, you improve the amount that people are actually going on the loan. What is your scope of control in there? Do you actually have scope on marketing and say you're not going to change your approach so that your experiment is not biased by having personas that basically enter into the funnel and they have bigger pockets or they have bigger loans to ask? Or that you actually exclude seasonality when you are in the middle of an economic cycle and that might skew up your experiment. So my question is, how do you isolate those factors? Do you actually have control on marketing to avoid that? And do you actually look at, are we in a cycle that is just skewing up the experiment or not?
Well, after all, yes, a little bit of each. So we try, as the sizes we have here at GoFidish, so we are huge in the market, so our mix of channels don't change day by day, okay? So we already know which performance better, okay? Cost effective also, so that ones are always running, and what we did on that side is like having just a small budget per month to experiment, for instance. So The mix never change. Okay.
We have done this before, so I'm just going to answer the one that was there, which is when do the productized early bird tickets go out of sale? So they will be on. So actually, we are running super early birds, and super early birds goes until the end of the month, right? We have April, 6th of April. But we do have something going on, which is if you go to the website now, you can get the free streaming ticket, and after the Super Holy Birds streaming tickets will be paid. So free is free, cannot beat that, I guess, not even with the best experimentation. So I think we're kind of going to wrap this up, maybe with one or two last questions, and then we go to the beer and snacks downstairs. How do you feel about that? Can you do one more? Yeah. Okay. So let's go to this first one. What data stack, external or internal solutions, used to be data-driven, and what was the most challenging to set up at the right stack? So Andre, you were talking about data. Do you want to further elaborate on that?
This is a tricky one because, and here between the, we can be talking about external or internal solutions. The internal solutions, they require in-house solutions to get the data and to analyze the data. But on the external point of view, we are being based on Google. For the traffic, our journeys, we are using Google Console to track a drop in our step-by-step funnel. And then we try to merge the information with our internal sources. This is quite a challenge because at the beginning, we were finding out that the data was being provided from Google was not the same we had on the inside. So there was a work here to find our golden source and to align both of them.
What did you do to find the golden source?
That's a tricky one. We needed to work with a lot of teams to be sure. Luis' team was one of those. Our growth from Etienne also. So we needed to join everyone together to be looking at the data at the same time. And to be sure, I mean, the internal data should be right, of course. But are we doing the right queries to the database? Are we looking for the right variables? Are we looking at are we mixing the variables the right way? So it was a joint work that allowed us to find the golden source and to be sure that we are tracking and making decisions based on the right data.
Yeah, and just to finish, well, don't suffer about it. You know, in the past, I suffer a lot with different sources and looking and each source giving a different data, and that was where I'm looking, where is my font of truth. So after all, what I try to do is have one source, clean that source, and well, I will just look to that. But yeah, in Cofidis we integrated with data layers and so on, so well, I'm happy now with the data that we have.
Okay, data happiness, very important. So that said, we have CSAT. Someone is asking what is CSAT, so...
Customer satisfaction.
Customer satisfaction. And by the way, you decreased the cost of acquisition while actually increasing customer satisfaction, right? Which was quite a feat. All right, so any last questions? So yeah, we have, are you always sure that the feature is going to add profit after a successful experiment? Maybe for Leah?
Yes. That's the whole point of an experiment. You know, we test, we get statistical significance, we do it for a certain amount of time, we do it on new user only, so it's no, there's no bias. And after you can roll out and take your time in rolling out to prove that, you know, it's the case. But yes, the whole point of testing is that we trust that the data is because of the change and not not by luck. So yes.
Okay. So that said, I think we can wrap it up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.